Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Bethley and I are just thrilled you joined us today as we are continuing our discussion, Investing in Your Marriage. Today is part five, and we're just going to jump right in and get started. Here we go. We've been doing a series over the last couple of weeks about investing in our marriage relationships. Mm-hmm. And we kind of have divided it into three different words.
Right.
Last couple of weeks, we've been talking about roles or maybe responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And based especially on Ephesians chapter 5, as husbands are to love their wives.
Right.
And lead. Mm-hmm. Wives are to submit.
And respect.
And we've been discussing those, and today we're ready to move into the second part of this this particular series, Investing in Your Marriage, and we're going to talk today about relationship, and we are very quickly heading towards here in coming weeks on the word romance.
The fun part.
And we're certainly excited about that. Today we want to begin talking, though, about our marriage relationship. Three times in the Bible discusses and defines marriage with the words, these two shall be one. Mm-hmm. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, be joined unto his wife, they two shall be one. In that particular definition, or that particular verse rather, we find the definition of marriage, mm-hmm. the permanence of marriage,
right.
and the relationship of marriage. Defined, marriage is one man and one woman
for one life.
And that refers to the permanence. Obviously, divorce happens, and many of you that have listened or are listening have probably been through a divorce. Either your parents went through a divorce, or maybe you've been through one yourself. The Bible is very clear, though, that God's plan for our marriage is that they last a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And that's our goal. So if you're married, we're coming into our thinking here with the assumption that your plan is to be married till death do us
right,
part.
Right.
And maybe you're in your second or your third marriage, but the definition is still the same. It's
right.
It's a man and a woman for one life. Mm-hmm. And that's why we are going to talk with you about developing a good marriage
relationship. Will help with the permanence.
That will help with the permanence. They two shall be one is a reference about relationship. Mm-hmm. One day I walked into Bethley's dad's office. He was the pastor of our church, and we were members there at the time. And I said to Bethley's father, Dad, what do you think is the number one problem in the marriages of those you have counseled or pastored through the years? Bethley's dad's answer to me with almost without thinking. He just looked up, and rarely did he answer quickly. Dad would typically think for a moment. That was his standard protocol, and you could see his wheels turning by the way he looked at you and the way he pursed his lips as he kind of mulled over his answer.
Right.
But this one he answered quite quickly. I said, what do you think is the number one problem in the marriages of those you've counseled or pastored through the years? And he said very quickly, most couples are not best friends. And that gave me a lot to think about.
Right.
And so let's talk about being best friends.
Right.
By definition, friendship is a relationship between two people who hold mutual affection for each other.
Right.
So what that means is that Bethley should like me and that I should like her. And it's kind of that simple, isn't it? I like being with Bethley.
Yes.
And she likes being with me. And tell our audience all the reasons you like being with me.
There are a lot of reasons I like being with you. Number one, you make me laugh a lot. But it is pretty sad when couples don't spend time with each other based on the fact that they don't really even care for each other. Yeah. And they might even say, oh, yeah, we have a good marriage. We're fine. Everything's fine. But, oh, what do you do together? Well, he hangs with his friends and I hang out with my friends. And that just makes everything so much better. Then we just don't get on each other's nerves. Well, that's a problem because you should be best friends. You should want to spend time together.
Yeah. And that that is a matter of saying, you know, I like this about you.
Yes.
And I know that when you fall in love because you find reasons to like the person.
Right.
You know, I like the way you smile at me. I like the, I like your blue eyes. I like the way you compliment me. I like that we do this together. That's how all marriages start, and quite frequently, it's very normal for the busyness of our lives, the frustrations of our lives, the irritations, the demands, to result in a couple drawing away from each other in their relationship.
Right. There can just be little things that instead of majoring on the big things that you do like
sure.
about each other, you can major on the little things that irritate you about each other. And then you just think, well, why would I want to spend time with you? Because yeah. that irritates the fire out of me.
Not that we ever have that happen in our marriage, but other people's marriages, of course.
Nothing about you irritates the fire out of me.
I saw several memes along the way. I always am looking for humor and collecting memes. And here's a few that I've seen recently and even had on in notes along the way for a long time. One of them said, I once had a best friend who is now a stranger. Hmm. And isn't that so true of so many marriages? They always start with great promise.
Right.
The day there's a wedding, mm-hmm. there's music, there's crowds, there's a dress, there's a tux, mm-hmm. there's a preacher, there's a reception, there's a rehearsal, there's visitors.
There's a honeymoon.
This mm-hmm. is my best friend. And a divorce always means that best friend has become a stranger. Hmm. And some couples never get a divorce, but it's like they are strangers. So that's right. a real interesting meme. One meme said, I can't promise to fix all your problems, but I can promise that you will never face them alone. Hmm. Now that sounds like a good relationship. That's I'm glad sweet. That friendships doesn't come with price tags, that friendship doesn't come with price tags. For if it did, I could never afford someone as great as you.
Aww.
And that's a really good one. And I like this one too. It said, I love how we can look at each other and without saying anything, know that we are making fun of the same person. Oh, that's good. Here's one. I love you so much that a day without you is like a day without the internet. Oh. And for some people, that would be huge.
Yeah, that would be huge.
We're so addicted to our phones and they're so necessary part of our lives. A good friend knows all of your best stories, but a best friend has lived them with you. Mm. That was a good one because sometimes that's a good one to stop and think about because it's one thing to know good stories about another person, but if you're married, the stories often should be the two of you.
Right.
And I know, you and I could sit for a long time and talk about Bar Harbor, Maine, or as they said up there, Bahaba.
Bahaba.
Bahaba, Maine, on our fifth anniversary. Mm-hmm. It was just even a little bit of a challenge even getting there. And yet we finally got there, and it was what a week, what an incredible, mm-hmm. fun, enjoyable fifth anniversary celebration. We could talk about many of the restaurants. Beth and I travel all the time, so we've eaten in different, we look for nice restaurants, mm-hmm. and we can afford it.
Right.
But often we drive into an area and see an exit sign. It's like, hey, remember when we went to the Brick House? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's in Goshen, Indiana.
It is.
Uh-huh. And or we went to the Granville Inn. That mm-hmm. was near where we lived in Ohio. And
nice local places.
The list goes on and on. And then coffee shops. Those are all over. Those are our good memories. So a good friend knows all of your best stories, but a best friend has lived them all with you. And here's one I thought was pretty funny. You don't have to be crazy to be my friend. I will train you. And so sometimes to be married to each other takes a little bit of craziness.
Either that or your children are driving you to that craziness experience it together.
And then a little bit of humor. Nothing better than a friend unless it's a friend with chocolate.
Yes.
Our son Joshua, he's a real firm believer in the chocolate. Chocolate fixes everything. So he'll give you chocolate if you think you're having a bad day. Mm-hmm. Who needs friends? Somebody said, I have the internet. That's a really sad one.
That is.
And yet a reminder, because often in marriages, we'll watch couples go out to eat, and they don't talk the entire time.
Right, they scroll their phones.
She's looking at her phone. He's looking at his. And every so often, they show each other something on their phone.
Right.
I want to be the reason you look down at your phone, smile, and walk into a pole. That's one of my favorites. And then another one, a good friend will try to bail you out of jail, but a best friend will be there with you saying, man, that was fun.
Oh, dear.
We've never had that happen to us. Just for all of you that are listening, just so you know. But here's a sad one, really, to get our thinking headed to where we're going today. It is really amazing when two strangers become best friends. On a night in September, our senior year in Bible college, Bethy and I, as strangers, met one another.
Right.
And over the months after that, became best friends. Mm-hmm. And now for 27 years here very shortly.
Next week.
Been best friends. So it's really amazing when two strangers become best friends, but this quote said, it's really sad when two best friends become strangers. Hmm. So what Beth and I want to talk about today and next week is just a little bit about how two strangers can remain best friends, become best friends, remain best friends.
Or work on becoming best friends.
And work towards that, of course. Mm-hmm. And so let's just jump right in here. And here's an obvious statement. Hmm. It's obviously going to take love.
Yes.
One of the things that's very definite about a marriage is I love you
I love you too.
Yes. I was waiting for that.
Yes.
Way to jump in there. Someone said, love is what you do. It's not what you feel.
Very true.
Now, we have to keep that in perspective, because a love without feeling would not make sense.
No, it would be very clinical.
It would be very clinical. It would not necessarily be love, I don't
think. Right.
Mm-hmm. But love is, maybe the better way to say that is, love is based on what you do, not what you feel. Sometimes a couple mm-hmm. will say in a counseling session, well, we just don't love each other anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's entirely possible. What they right. probably mean is, we don't feel that we love each other anymore.
Right.
Because love is what you do. What they're mm-hmm. telling you indirectly is, somewhere along the way, we stopped the doing
right.
that made our marriage the wonderful things that it is. And uh-huh. if we think about doing, let's start there.
Okay.
We do things for each other mm-hmm. and we do things together.
Okay.
And that's a foundation for our marriage. So mm-hmm. Things we do for each other, I'm aware of Bethley's needs and she's aware of mine. So we go back to what we've talked about in some in recent weeks, the love languages.
Right.
And mm-hmm. if I know Bethley has something she enjoys and I do that for her, then I'm putting deposits in her love account.
Right.
Uh-huh. She likes getting flowers along the way. So if I buy her flowers, or I buy her coffee, or I buy her chocolate, or I surprise her in some way,
right?
Mm-hmm. That's a deposit in the love tank.
Yes, it is.
And obviously, most men probably don't look for bring me a dozen roses, but uh-huh. when Bethley makes a meal for me, or Bethley uh-huh. Gets my favorite bread, or whatever, right. mm-hmm. or she uses my favorite coffee mug in the mornings when we start our day. Normally, we've kind of switched on this some years ago. I was always the first one up.
Right.
And now the older we get, Bethley almost always beats me up now. Mm-hmm. She's up first. She's going before I hit the floor. And so normally when I get up in the morning, my coffee is ready to start. Mm-hmm. The coffee pot is fresh water. The coffee's ready. Everything's warming.
I just have
to push a button, and a few moments later, I have a cup of coffee to start my day. That's doing things for each other. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Thank you again for joining us today as we're continuing this talk about investing in your marriage. We sure hope you'll take what you're learning and you'll apply it to your life, maybe even reach out and encourage someone else to take a listen, share it with them, share what you're learning, and let others be encouraged and blessed in their marriage as well. Next time, we'll continue this discussion with part 6, and we look forward to your joining us then. In the meantime, remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.